Well, welcome everybody to the Juice Box. I'm your host, Coach John Willis. Though as we get started, we got to pay bills, man. Shout out. Show's being brought to you by the CJW Company, The Juice University, Leadership Surge, Max Hoops, Convoy Basketball, and Dr. Bethany Nutrition. We're going to get the show going. We're going to jump right into it on this fine, fine day. It's a beautiful day here in Oregon, 65 degrees. Coming to you live from St. Paul, Oregon, Woodburn, Oregon, that area. Now, today's topic, because this is going to be a good one, it's going to be a quick one. Talented, committed, not good enough. Three types of people out there, especially when it comes to athletics. This lesson you can apply in the athletic sector, or you can apply to your life. There are talented people, there are committed people, and there are people who are just not good enough. When it comes to athletics, there's a difference between talent and skill. Understand this. Talent, or being talented, is something that you did not work for. It's something that you did not train for. It's something that was not taught to you. If you jump really high at a young age, most basketball coaches teach you to use your left hand on the left side of the rim, because that sticks to the ball you man principle and prevents your shot from getting blocked. It decreases the likelihood of your shot getting blocked. Well, if you can jump really high, you might still use your right hand. Why? Because nobody's ever blocked your shot. When a shot goes up, you're supposed to block out to rebound. And to block out, you have to make contact with the defense. Well, if you can jump really high, you can get away with not blocking out and doing what we call turning and jumping. And if you've only played with people who don't jump as high as you, then you can get away with it, because you're talented. A committed person is someone who commits to the skill, to learning the skill. Meaning, you have to be shown proper technique. You have to be educated by someone who's better at it than you are. They teach you something. See, when you are committed, then you can obtain skills. Do you understand what a skilled laborer, is? So, like a mechanic or a machinist or a radiologist or a x-ray technician. You know, you're talking about skilled labor. So these are people who have been trained, who have learned, who have studied, and who have practiced a specific skill set. So those people are skilled. Can you imagine if a talented person committed to learning the skill to better their craft? And you see, as a coach, I would much rather take a committed person. I would rather take somebody who's going to spend day after day, hour after hour, working on the skill, sharpening their tools, getting better and better and better at the skill, as opposed to somebody who's just naturally talented because they've been able to get away and get by with doing things that they haven't really worked hard for to achieve. It's the same thing in your life. For me, I have a talent as a great orator. I love to speak. I love to speak in front of crowds. I have a talent of motivating people.
How did I discover this? I discovered it by being a youth pastor at the church. Then that transitioned into being a school teacher, where I could just get in front of people and talk without having a problem. I could tell people stories and I could get people to understand my point of view. And that was a talent. But see, my speaking rose to a whole nother level when I started to approach my speaking and my ability to motivate as a skill and not as a talent. In other words, when I started to work at the art of speaking, when I started to study and learn people, when I started to do research on other things, then I began to sharpen my tools. I began to develop the skill of motivating people, develop the skill of public speaking, develop the skill of these things. You see, now I'm still talented, but I have the skill to speak. Do you realize that talented people will never maximize their potential until they commit to a skill? I'm going to say that one more time. I said, talented people will never maximize their potential until they commit to a skill. Understanding. Early in an early episode, we defined what commitment is, and commitment is the ability to stay true to your word long after the situation and the circumstances in which you gave your word have changed. So can you commit to the skill? In other words, if I don't have any speaking gigs lined up, am I still practicing? Am I still sharpening my skills? How do I sharpen my skills as a speaker? I give speeches while I cut the grass. I give speeches while I'm moving ladders in the warehouse. Understand, I work a job as a coach. I work a job as a warehouse manager. And while in the warehouse, while moving ladders, I'm still giving speeches. I'm still practicing my craft. I'm still beating on my craft. Why? Because I want to master it. You know, I had the privilege of going and speaking at Carson High School, and I love those people. You know, Miss Ange Golick and Abby Golick down there at Carson High School, all the kids there, the principals there, and a bunch of beautiful people. And I had a chance to speak at their school. They invited me to speak at their school, and it went great. I had a fantastic time, but upon leaving there, I said, man, I've got to change some things. I got to get in better condition. I got to be in better shape. I got to be in better condition because I was so tired. See, one of the things that makes my speaking so great, you know, one of the things that hearing Coach John Willis speak, and I know I just referred to myself in the third person, but the experience is the energy that I bring. It's the energy and the passion that I bring. I was so tired. I had given so much of myself that day. I had spoken to three classes. I spoke to three classes that day. I ran a seminar for a leadership class, and I spoke to a large group of students in the gym. And then I spoke at the football dinner that evening, all before flying out that night. And I remember after the long school day, because the school day went three classes and then the large auditorium speech. And then after the large auditorium speech, I ran a workshop for the FBLA class. And I just remember after that, I had to force myself to eat because all I wanted to do was go to sleep. I remember having about a 2-hour break between that FBLA presentation and the football dinner. And I just said, you know, Edge, can you take me so I can sleep? And I remember just laying across the bed and just falling asleep, and I was tired, and that let me know that I have to get my body in better condition. I got to get more fitness going. I got to lose some weight. I got to get better cardio going so that I can speak at a higher level for a longer amount of time. Absolutely. Because I have a desire to cultivate my talent into a skill and develop a skill set of being the best public speaker that I can possibly be. You know, I don't claim to be better than anybody, but I also don't claim to be afraid of anybody. I don't think there's anybody that I cannot reach, that I cannot motivate. I have the talent and you know, that word gift and that word talent, you know, talented, gifted, you know. I remember going to Darnell Cookman, and the slogan of the school was that the school was for the gifted and academically talented. In other words, they only wanted people who had some natural ability. See, you can be taught a skill. You can be taught a skill. Now, to perfect the skill, watch this. To perfect the skill takes hours and hours. But if you don't have the desire to sacrifice the hours that it takes to perfect the skill, then you will never maximize the talent. I'm going to say that again. If you don't have the mentality or the wherewithal, if you don't have the ability to sacrifice the time that it takes to master the skill, you will never maximize the talent. I'm going to let that sit in your hearts and in your spirits for a few minutes. And as we wrap up the show today, because like I said, I told you this is going to be a shorter one here. I want you to really think about what's going on right now in our country with this coronavirus. I want you to really think about it. You know, think about several things. Number one, you know, you have people are saying, hey, we need to get off the roads. You need to stay home, and we need to keep 6 feet of space in between us. And it's a lot of stuff that's going on that's really dehumanizing. And I want to caution you on that, because humans, we need interaction. We need interaction with people. We need to hug somebody. We need to feel emotion. We need to laugh. We need to cry. We need to feel joy. You know, we need those things. We need those things. So I don't want you to allow the coronavirus to drive a wedge between you and somebody else. Make sure that you are interacting with some kind of people. Make sure you're FaceTiming. Make sure you're calling people, text messaging people, using different apps, you know, whether it's Snapchat or Marco Polo, whatever it is, let people see your face. But don't you become dehumanized because of the virus. And lastly, from an economic opportunity, you know, my brother Alex was telling me that people run to panic faster than they do to pleasure, you know, or people run to pain faster than they do pleasure. And that's very true, because I want you to think about something. See, I have a 10-month-old son, Preston, and if Preston is in his high chair, you know, eating, and let's say I turn to, you know, and I have to use the restroom, I turn to the sink to go wash my hands. If Preston is laughing, I'm fine. I'll continue what I'm doing. I continue washing my hands. But if Preston screams out, you know, if he just screams out like a cry, like something's wrong, then I'll come running. And that's exactly what I mean by people run to pain faster than they run to pleasure. See, there's something about fear that drives us. See, like this whole coronavirus thing is a serious thing. But the truth is, more people will die from diabetes this year More people have already died from heart failure this year. But look at our response to heart failure or to high blood pressure or to diabetes. Look at our response. How do we respond? Do we respond by taking drastic measures to change our diets? Do we respond by eating more vegetables? Do we respond by eating less animal products? Do we respond by going to the doctor more, by exercising more? Do we respond at an extreme rate the same way that we respond to the coronavirus? You know, a week ago, we had snow on the ground. A week ago, we had snow on the ground. What does that mean? In the middle of March, we had snow on the ground in Oregon. That's a direct result of global warming. Well, the result of global warming is climate change. So what I'm saying is you see extreme temperatures, you see extreme storms, you see hurricane season lasting longer and going deeper into the year. You see snow on the ground in the middle of March. That stuff is all in response to global warming. But how do we respond to that? Do we have a drastic response like we do to the coronavirus? I just want to give you some food for thought. I just want you to really take time. Yes, the coronavirus is serious, but so is global warming. So is heart disease. So is diabetes. So is the flu. You know, these things, we just need to practice better habits and be more aware and practice better habits. So with that being said, you know, I thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay safe out there. Make sure you're washing your hands and being careful, man, taking care of your loved ones. And we will see you guys next time on the Juice Box. Remember, we love to hear from you. We're well over 1,000 listeners now, so we want to say thank you for that. And we're going to keep it coming. So we'd love to hear from you. Any ideas that you may have, any questions that you may have, please feel free to reach out. You can send us an email at coachjohnwillis@gmail.com. You can hit us on Twitter at @coachj_Willis, Instagram, @coach_John_Willis, or @mo_minutes. So please feel free to reach out to the show. Thank you for your time. Grace and peace, and stay safe.